Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online. Your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, lovies. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Smart Hour. We are on the second Thursday talking about Naked, because truth clothes equals lies. So as I told you guys, Naked is my latest book, and I actually did some things with my Facebook Live audience where I decided, you know, I pulled these three chapters out of a can. Some of you may already know this, but I pulled these three chapters out of a can and decided that I would be vocally transparent about these chapters in the book Naked. So tonight we're on the second one, and this one is called Dancing with Broken Bones. I'm actually going to read that chapter out, talk a little bit about it, and then I will pray for those that are experiencing those things. So if you would, stay tuned. You don't want to miss this show.
The Smart Hour, brought to you by Fit, Focused, and Curvy, knowledge for the complete woman, an environment for women to share and grow, offering tips and testimonials on fashion, parenting, cleaning, and much more. Be sure to friend us on Facebook at Fit Focused Curvy. Follow us on Instagram at Fit Focused Curvy. And check out our website at fitfocusedcurvy.com.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Imagine me. you.
Dedicated to people like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough, you never felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. Every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. My faith, gone. Low self-esteem, hallelujah, it's gone. It's all gone. It's gone. All my scars, all my pain, it's in the past, it's yesterday. It's all gone. What your mother did, what your father did, hallelujah.
Franklin. I think that's going to be the theme song for Naked as we do these chapters, because I had that last week as well. And I think it's so fitting just for me being transparent with this book and really allowing people to see me for who I truly am, and meaning the things that I've actually gone through. So getting to that place past low self-esteem and getting to the place where God, where I see myself as God sees me. So that it's definitely been a journey. So I'll dive right into this chapter. And again, I'm going to read the whole chapter because I told my Facebook Live audience that I was going to do that. So I'll read this chapter and we'll talk about it. So this is Dancing with Broken Bones. A virus? What? How did I get a virus? I've always tried to be careful when it comes to taking care of things that matter most. I need to be able to function. God, how could you let this happen? Those were my thoughts when I found out that there was a virus on my computer. I have the type of relationship with God, I'm still growing and learning, where I feel that he should tell me beforehand if something is going to happen. We're that tight. My thoughts to God were, God, you know I hate wasting money. Now I have to pay these people $100 to remote into my computer and get this virus off. Wow. Why did this happen? After I was done complaining, I had to go ahead and accept the truth and pay to have the virus removed. You see, I have been working from home for years, and this incident happened about a year and a half after I started working from home. I was using a Windows computer at the time, so I contacted Norton and had them remote in to remove the virus. The tech told me to only use the Internet Explorer for work, but for browsing the web, I should use Firefox. He said it had something to do with the settings and security that Firefox has set up. I told my husband and my son what he said so they would use Firefox as well. Working from home has its advantages. One advantage is the ability to go to work in my robe. I would normally work overnight because the entire family would be asleep. Being a wife, mom, and entrepreneur was very demanding, so I did this to be available for my family when they needed me. I was also a liturgical dancer at church, and this virus incident happened on a Thursday, early in the day before dance rehearsal. When I got home from rehearsal, I began to wash dishes and do things that demanded my attention. My husband asked, "Baby, aren't you going to Walmart?" I told him no. I had changed my mind because I needed to bathe the baby. Our daughter was about 5 at that time. I needed to bathe her, wash dishes, and do some other things around the house. He'd then left the house for a while. I went to bed, but got up at my usual 12 a.m. Friday morning to work. By this time, he had long been home, showered, and was sound asleep. When I went down to the computer, I saw his email open. My initial thought was to close it, but I caught it before I closed it. I thought to myself, let me see what's in this email. I'm not kidding you. I have never seen this before, and I have not seen it afterwards either. When I clicked on the trash can, a second trash can dropped down from that one. I thought, what is this? I clicked on it and saw all of these emails and Craigslist responses. I saw pictures of genitalia from all parties involved. I saw people of the opposite sex, same sex, and those somewhere in between. I saw young white girls and descriptions of what could be done to them in the midst of a rendezvous. I saw responses to married couples that wanted a third party. I could not believe what I was reading. My heart was crushed. Who in the hell am I married to? I saw an email between him and the person he had been communicating with earlier that night. I could see where he told them, man, she isn't going to Walmart now. This explains why he left the house. According to this email, the plan was for someone to come by and give him head outside of my front door in the truck while I was at Walmart and my children were inside. I even saw in another email that a hookup was planned for later that Friday evening. My heart pounded at the thought of this taking place, higher trajectory of my future and destiny. If this went down, things would never be the same. I worked for a few hours and went to bed just before he got up for work. He told me that he was going to go out after work to stretch his legs. This was just a phrase we frequently use to describe getting out to get some me time or some time away from it all. With the knowledge that I had about the planned meeting, I asked with the highest hope of a yes answer, shall I get a sitter for the kids so we can do something together? His response was that he and some of the guys from work were going to a casino in West Virginia after work. My heart pumped even harder as I swallowed fear and said, okay. He left for work, and the thought of the meeting tormented me all day. Something in me had to allow this to play out. I had to know if he was actually going to go through with it. The end of his work day came, and he called me to let me know that he was off work and that, quote, they were headed to West Virginia to have some guy time. I again said, okay. I kept this email open from earlier that morning because I wanted to see if things would come in. As I was looking over much of what I had already seen, I noticed new emails coming in. The person he was going to meet in West Virginia decided that he didn't want him to text. This person wanted to email instead. While they were emailing back and forth between their cell phones, I was at home reading it all on my computer. Time passed, and it was again time for me to get up for work. It was around 1 a.m. when he came in, and to me, he had the foulest odor on him. I sat at the computer and cried some more. Did this really just happen? God, this is beyond painful. I printed out all of the emails and naked pictures from Craigslist and hid them in a safe place. I was determined at that moment that I could not open my mouth about what I knew. I was afraid he would do something to me physically again, so I kept my mouth closed and held in the pain. It was now Saturday morning, and I was due to go out and evangelize at church. I got to the church parking lot and sat there alone in my car and cried. Other people met up at the parking lot and were outside laughing and talking as we waited for the whole group to show up. I continued to sit in my car. I had just found out my family, my future as I knew it, and my marriage was over. I didn't want to laugh. I was determined for God to get the glory out of my life, though. I did eventually get out to evangelize, and it was so powerful. I had been fasting and praying that God would use me on this mission to evangelize the community, and he did. When we finished, I went home with my heavy secret. I ran to the computer with anticipation to see what was new. Of course, this wasn't the anticipation of opening a Christmas gift, but instead the feeling of knowing that something died and is waiting on the autopsy. I was waiting on the autopsy to get closure. I learned when I got home that while I was out evangelizing, he was home corresponding via Craigslist again. I carried that secret for a week. I began to reflect on how mean he had been over the past few weeks and how distracted he had been. Now I knew why. We had taken the children to the amusement park. He had my son take a picture of he and I sitting on the bench. This same picture was sent to someone that he wanted to F with the description, "Look at the smile on the wife's picture of he and my son," sent to one of those in-between people that I mentioned at the top of this chapter. I was so pissed. My thoughts were, you don't know if this person is looking at my son or looking at you. There was a pic. There was even a picture of a Latina that lived in Florida with her son. Like, wow. The more I read the emails, the more pain-filled and angry I got. Of course he couldn't touch me sexually. I was not going to allow it. I began to wonder why he wanted a white woman amongst his other preferences in the emails. I started to look at other white women or look at white women, any woman that wasn't black, for that matter, in anger and wonder why I wasn't good enough. I began to feel insecure about my brown skin and hated theirs. The Lord had to shake me and remind me that it was not their fault that my husband wanted to fulfill his fantasies with them. So I was not to walk around angry at every white woman I saw. God also let me know that someone else's desires had nothing to do with my beauty and self-worth. He let me know that I was still beautiful regardless of what the emails contained. One night, my husband initiated a sit-down conversation in the living room. He said, "Do you realize that it has been a week and I haven't touched my wife?" I just listened to him rant and express himself. When he was done, I presented the simple question, "Do you believe God is real?" My reason for asking this was that surely he wouldn't think that God would allow him to do this and not tell me. I don't want to hear nothing about no God. I'm trying to have a conversation with my wife. I knew at that moment that there was no reasoning. I simply wrapped up the conversation and went back upstairs. After that conversation, I went into the email again to see that he was reaching out to someone for sex. His message to this person was that he told this person that I had some illness that he had made up and that I knew he wasn't going to leave me. What? My thoughts were, now you have gone beyond cheating. You have completely removed yourself as my covering. You are now speaking against me, my health, and my well-being just to fulfill your lust. Really? I continued to carry the pain. I woke up with pain and went to bed with it. I took my children for ice cream with pain as my companion. I would search for big sunglasses to wear in the car with my babies because I knew the pain would strike at any moment and tears would begin to flow. My sunglasses not only blocked the sun, but they blocked my truth. They would catch the tears before they rolled down my cheeks, thus creating the best cover-up I could find. During the same time frame of finding out about this adultery, my business failed and my daughter lost hearing ability in one of her ears. I was not making money. I began to sing to my daughter because I didn't know how far this loss of hearing would go, and I wanted her to remember my voice. Her teacher had been complaining, saying that she wasn't listening in class and you know, thinking that it was all disobedience, but it turns out that she wasn't being disobedient. She was losing hearing in one of her ears. I was terrified. Another Sunday rolled around, and the children and I went to church. As a dancer, I was required to go into leadership prayer every morning before service. The pain of my secret pain had become almost unbearable. After prayer, I went into a little hallway where no one could see me and cried. Someone passed behind me. I mustered up a soft but fake hello to disguise my pain as I kept gazing out of the window so that they wouldn't see the tears. I made up my mind at that moment that I was still determined for God to get the glory out of my life. I told myself that I was going to dance that Sunday as I was supposed to. I was going to dance to help others get free. I would dance through my pain. I would dance with broken bones. When the word came forth during service, it was a liberating one. The speaker and prophetic voice of the house got up and said that she had pain in one of her ears and that God had removed it. I received that as my daughter's healing. She also said, 7 years of bondage are over. My heart pounded as I cried. It had been 7 years of marriage for us, although we had been together a total of 12. I was in so much pain, and I told God I couldn't hold the secret anymore. I said, Lord, if his truck is home when we get home today, I'm going to tell him. On the way home, I prepared my son, who was 12 years old at the time. I told him that his dad and I would be getting a divorce. His response immediately was to blame himself. He said, what did I do? So I pulled the car over and talked to him to assure him that he had done nothing. When we got home, the truck was indeed there. We went in to change clothes so I could take the children's shoe shopping. Once they were in the car, I took a deep breath and got all of the emails and put them on the ottoman in front of him. Then I left the house because I was afraid he would fight me. He called me about 20 minutes later sobbing. He was truly humbled by the fact that I knew the truth. I cussed him out like I had never even heard the name Jesus. He was not physically abusive when I got home, but I didn't know what the next year or what the next year would bring. I didn't know that the next year would thrust me into the fight of my life. As I mentioned at the beginning of this chapter to my listeners, I'm always waiting for God to tell me something before it happens. Hence my disappointment about the virus on the computer. That was the wisest $100 investment I could have made in my life. I now know that God allowed the virus on the computer to prevent the possibility of a virus in my body. Had there never been a computer virus, I would have never been exposed to the information I needed. He did tell me before it happened. So that is that chapter, Dancing with Broken Bones. And with this chapter, I just want to ask for my listeners, are you dancing with broken bones? Is there some place in your life where you've had to experience this type of pain? Now, when it comes to this chapter of Dancing with Broken Bones, I do want to say, because I know that we live in a society where people are not faithful, people don't commit to marriage, people cheat, you know, but I believe in the sanctity of marriage. I believe in unity. I believe that it can and will work. I believe that if God breathes on it and both parties are willing to fight and willing to stay with God, that it can and that it will work, even against the odds of this culture and what this culture believes. But I do also understand that there are some people that are walking through this level of pain, and the level of pain meaning this type of adultery. Not that any type of adultery feels good, but just this type of adultery, for me, it brought a different type of pain. So I want to, well, first of all, I'm not at all in any way bitter towards my ex or upset with him in a sense or whatever. I had to go through a long process of God healing me and getting me to a place where I just actually understood. So I had to get to the place of understanding that with these things happening in the life of my ex, something more than likely happened with him that would bring that about. Even if I didn't look at it that way, I had to look at my own faults and the fact that I'm not perfect. And if it were not for God, it could have been the other way around. I could have been the one cheating. And so some people may hear this and be like, oh, that's you know, depending on where you are. Some people may hear this and feel like, oh man, you know, that's whack. You know, nobody don't feel sorry for somebody that hurt you or whatever, you know, the case may be. But the reality of it is, people make mistakes. People are imperfect. Even Jesus, when he hung on the cross, to his persecutors, for his persecutors, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Jesus obviously understood that people are imperfect, and he could see their hearts and what was going on, even though they were crucifying him. So when it comes to forgiveness and pain, for me, what has helped me is really just understanding, stepping outside of my emotions and outside of my feelings. And not that this happened immediately. Of course it did not. It took some time for this to happen. But stepping outside of my emotions and outside of my pain to be able to see what God wanted me to see and to have the right perspective, the fact that we're all fallen and that we all make mistakes. And so I don't look down on him. It actually birthed a passion in me, king in men, so that, that king could be brought forth and that king could come out. We live in a day and age in this society where men are made to feel that it's bad for being, they're wrong. It's a bad thing to be masculine, or it's a bad thing to like women if you're a man and be exclusively for women. So we live in that type of culture, but I have a passion through that and through some other things that happened in my life. I have a passion to call forth the king in men and to speak to that king and build that king up. So I pray the best for my ex and whatever the case may be with that. But for those of you that are walking through this particular season, I just want to pray for you to know that this is a time where you can really, for me, I had to anchor myself in God. And what I mean by that is I had to call on God for everything. If it hurt, if I was crying, if I was mad, if I was angry, like I talked about in this chapter, there was a moment where I didn't like to look at white women, like I felt some type of way about all white women because of some of the things that I saw in the emails. And of course that wasn't right, but God understood my pain and he understood my process. And so to be able to talk to somebody that you can be just completely real with and completely transparent with, and you could just let it all out, every ounce of pain, everything that hurt, you can just let it all out because he understands. If it's times that, you know, you're mad at God because it happened, or mad at the kids, or mad because of the situation, like whatever the case may be, God was my anchor. I was able to go to God and be real. I was able to go to God and be transparent. And like the good, good father that he is, he comforted me and he built my self-esteem and let me know that I was somebody special to him. And you begin to take how you feel. Like for me, I began to take how I felt away from that situation, meaning how I felt about myself. I had to separate that from what had actually happened to me, because I would pick myself apart trying to find out what was wrong. Why, you know, what was wrong with me, when the reality of it is, it's not something that's wrong with you necessarily. It's the other person. And if it's in the person, I could wear the finest clothes and do everything I know to do right. But if it's in another person to cheat or to go on their, follow their own lust, then they're going to do that. And I can't feel, and you can't feel like you're less than because another person does that. So I hope that this is a blessing to somebody. I hope that this meets somebody right where they are, in the midst of a divorce. And please understand and know that you can call on God for anything, and you can talk to him just like I'm talking to you guys now, and you can talk to him anywhere. And it's not about all these, you know, steps and rituals and all these different things you have to go through to talk to God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can just open our mouths and speak to him, you know, so and he hears us, you know. So when it comes to just having that relationship with God, my relationship with God got stronger because I needed him for my very next breath. I needed him because pain, like I said, pain would hit at the most inconvenient times, the most inconvenient times, pain would hit me so hard and the tears would begin to flow. And God built me and he covered me and he walked me through it and he spoke to me, and he spoke to me about who I am, and he spoke to me about how he would use that process to help you and to help the next person and to help readers of the book Naked. He used it all. Nothing that I've walked through would be wasted, but I believe that he chose me to walk through it because he could trust me with it. So if you are walking through this, God can trust you with it. And you won't fail when you call on him. You will make it to the other side of through. You trust in him and call on him and be real with him. And sometimes it's best to put the phone down and not even talk to people, because people, like sometimes it felt good for me to be able to share this and get it out of me to some people, you know, very few people, maybe two people in the beginning. It was only two people in the beginning that I trusted. But it felt good to be able to get it out. However, we have to get to the point where there are some times where man doesn't know what to say to you. Man doesn't know what to say other than speak from their own experiences or their own opinion or what they think. And what a man thinks is not what a man thinks or a man's opinion is not necessarily God's will or God's thoughts. So there are times that you're going to have to just put the phone down and not call anybody and just call on God and just go pray or just sit and pray. God, this is how I'm feeling right now. I feel I'm hurting right now. This does not feel good, and I did not ask for this. Some of you are walking through this, and you ask God if it's the person, if you were supposed to marry this person or be with this person. That was the case with me, and some people may look at this and be, or listen to this and be like, oh, how could you say God, you know, allowed you to get married to somebody that would cheat on you? I don't know. I don't know all the things that God, you know, has in mind with saying. I know one of the things is for this ministry to come out of it. I know that, you know, and that doesn't mean just because God knows that something will happen doesn't mean that it's his fault, you know, and just because he allows something to happen doesn't mean that it's his fault. People have free will. So when it comes to those that are walking through this particular situation, for the women, or even if it's a man, whoever you are walking through this and you've been, adultery has been committed on you and you feel low or feel like, you know, you're not worthy or wondering what's wrong with you, let me again just empower you to know that it's not you. Many times when it comes to cheating, it's not the other person. It's not the person that's cheated on. It's the cheater that has some issues with them. And those issues could be from anything, you know, from porn, lust, child molestation. Something could have happened to the person when they were a child. Them not having a relationship with God is a huge thing because people try to fill that void with other things, you know. So, and then there are people that are saved and in the church that commit adultery, you know. So it's a number of reasons why people do this. But for you, the person that has been cheated on, may I just empower you to keep standing and keep believing and pray and ask God to help you through step by step by step. Sometimes I had to go moment by moment because the pain was so great, and because I had to keep it moving as a mother and as someone that needed to work and to make money and just to function and to minister. Like, I had to keep it moving. So in the midst of that pain, God will lead and guide because he led and he guided me. And so, Father, I lift up every person that's listening to this broadcast, God. I just pray that, first of all, I pray that the ones that you want to touch are listening. I believe that they're listening by design, God, that you led that click, or, you know, them to click on this link, or somehow this audio got into their ear, God. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the opportunity to pray for people that you are concerned about, because you see them and you see what they've walked through. Father, I pray for strength. I pray for strength mentally, God. I pray for strength emotionally, God. I pray for strength even in their physical bodies. God, when our hearts are broken, oh, God, when our hearts are sick, people expect us to keep moving and to not stop, and that we can't stop and take a break and we can't stop and heal. But, God, for these that are listening, I pray, God, that you would give them the grace to stop, that they understand that it's okay when your heart is broken, that you got to stop and tend to that heart and tend to that brokenness and tend to that pain, God, that they would give themselves the liberty and the freedom to be human, that they would give themselves the liberty and freedom to cry and to have emotions and to feel, dear God. And God, even in the midst of that you would dispatch your holy angels, God, to minister to them in every situation, that they never get in a place of depression or a place where they're so broken where they can't get out of it, God, that you would send your angels, Lord, to uplift them, dear God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for surrounding them, God, and giving them the right relationships, dear God, that they will have the wisdom, God, to know when to put the phone down. But, God, when it's time to pick it up, that you, Lord, will send the person that you have a word from, that you have a word in their mouth for them for. Lord, that they would talk to the people, God, that you would have them to talk to. that the people will be in their circle, God, that you would have in their circle as they go through this healing. Father, I thank you for healing. I thank you, God, for using me to be an example, Lord, and a testimony of what it feels like to be on the other side of through, where we've gone through the process, and your loving hands have sculpted my emotions and sculpted my mindset and sculpted my spirit, that I would be able to walk upright and walk with my head tall, knowing that I am a child of the King, that I'm God's queen, and that just because these things happened to me, that it didn't make me somebody less. And God, that this person that's listening, king or queen, will know that just because adultery happened, just because somebody cheated, just because the pain was there, that they are not less than, that they're not less than, but they will remember first that they were created by you, and you said that they're good. You said that it's a good thing, that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. So, God, I thank you for that assurance in their spirit, God, and that you would help them to listen to the right music and listen to the right worship music, not to listen to music, Lord, that would pull their mind in certain directions, listen to old songs that them and the other person listen to, or going to old places or smelling different perfumes and colognes, but, God, that they will walk into newness, dear God, that you would show them the path of newness, dear God, the path of healing in the name of Jesus, that you would help them, God, and guide them and lead them, Lord, into all things new. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. And, Lord, for whoever's listening, that they won't try to walk this thing on their own. Oh, God, I pray against suicide in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that they would stay focused, dear God, and know that there is purpose for their lives because they are still here listening to this podcast. God, that they will know that there's purpose for their lives. Purpose in the name of Jesus, that they would live and not die in the name of Jesus, that there is hope on the other side of through, and that you are God that will stay with us all the way, every step of the way through the process. So, Father, I pray that they will call on you. I pray that they be empowered. I pray that they be encouraged just to know that you love them despite what's happened. Regardless of what's happened, you said that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, and there is purpose for their lives. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that you care. Thank you, God, that you cared enough to take somebody like me through the process, my God, so that I could get to the other side and tell them it's okay. You can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can make it. God, I thank you. God, I thank you, and I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for their healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening in, you all. Oh, it's been such a blessing to me to share these chapters and to read the entire chapter. And I just believe, God, that this will reach the person that it's supposed to reach or the people that it's supposed to reach, even if it's one person. You know that God loves you that much that he would have somebody go through a process and write a book and have a show and read and then pray all for you because God loves you just that much. No matter what the pain was, no matter what anybody did, God loves you. And for that very reason, you are listening to this podcast and you understand, you can, so that you can understand that you are enough and that God still has purpose for your life. That he can pick you up, that he can heal you, that he can put you on the path to destiny, and that it's not over, that your life is just beginning. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you would change your perspective for anybody that's hurting and know that God is capable of making all things new. Be sure to tune in next week, and we'll talk about our last chapter of Naked, unless the Lord says otherwise. We'll talk about our last chapter of Naked, which is Spotlight My Life. So be sure to tune in. I will talk to you guys later. Hey,
have been listening to The Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.